It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we are proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. You will see Jimmy Blair at Nationals. I can't believe how close to Nationals we are. And I know you will be able to get cast for that brand new boot that you have always wanted when you see Jimmy at Nationals. So make sure you check out Jimmy Blair. And to get the heads up on what you can get, go to his website, which is pinnacleracing.com. Jimmy, we appreciate all of the support for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. And Coach, we have a returning guest on with us.
Absolutely. Here just not too long ago, we had a conversation with Kelly Springer about what was coming up for Outdoor Nationals, and guess what? It's wrapped up, it's done, it's in the book, so we're going to get a rundown from him, find out how it went, how everybody liked the dome being up, so Kelly Springer coming up.
Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out pinnacleracing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at pinnacleracing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we've kind of had a soft launch of our new website, which is boomerandthecoach.com. So that's pretty easy to remember. And we don't have all the archives of our shows up there yet. I think it's just basically what we've done so far in 2017. So we are adding some new things to it, but we wanted to get the site launched. So what you can do and bookmark this, it's boomerandthecoach.com, B-O-O-M-E-R and T-H-E-C-O-A-C-H, boomerandthecoach.com. We have our most recent podcasts are up there. We've got a link right to Pinnacle Racing on there as well. So you can subscribe to us on iTunes, any way that you get your podcast, subscribe to us, but also check out our new website, boomerandthecoach.com. And Kelly, we appreciate you being back on with us. We talked to Kelly Springer before Outdoor Nationals. Hard to believe it's in the books. And now we're going to talk to Kelly Springer to get the recap of Outdoor Nationals. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Hey, always good to visit. If I spend any more time with you guys, you're going to have to start charging me rent.
I know. I feel like you're the newest house guest.
Yes.
Which is good because we've got so much to talk about. And it just seems like yesterday we were talking about Outdoor Nationals and you were talking about how the skaters were getting prepared for some of the changes that have happened with the dome up and everything. Now it's in the books, and there's so much to cover, but all I have to say is it was so weird watching all of the video and seeing the dome in the background.
Yes.
It just really, I'm like,
echoey?
Yeah.
Echoey. So I was wondering how loud it was there. That's a question I got. How loud was it with Ross and his loud announcing because he's great?
as far as being loud, it wasn't too loud. They did have to do some moving around with some speakers to kind of get used to the echo. The goal was to make sure that the speakers were somewhere where the audience got a clear audio experience of what was going on. But what ended up happening is the echo happened, so everybody that was on the other side of the track, whether it's the officials or people standing on the other side, it wasn't quite as audible, but again, it's all about taking the audible part of it is all about making sure that the crowd understands what's going on so that they get the real feel of the racing.
Yeah. So what was going in? I mean, there was a lot of people had not experienced that yet. So what was your take on what kind of feedback did you get from coaches, athletes, spectators, and the whole gamut?
Well, it was actually kind of exciting how it worked out because as people were coming in, initially everybody got this thing tucked in and the fact that it's closed in and you didn't have that outdoorsy feeling, it kind of left everybody with kind of a somber feeling when they were coming up the stairs. And the initial take when you get up the stairs is like, oh, this is kind of, you know, that somber feeling kind of leaves you not knowing what to expect. Mm-hmm. But the athletes tied their skates, put their skates on, put on 10 laps, and after 10 laps, they were like, wow, this is incredible. And there is absolutely no doubt how incredible the racing was, because we were dropping records right and left. It was some of the fastest skating that track has ever seen. And the skaters that got to be part of the initial championships under that dome, they're definitely going home with some stories to tell for a while.
And not a lot of sunburn.
Yeah, I kept teasing the officials as I was walking by. Hey, do you guys need sunscreen? Hey, do you guys need sunscreen?
Where's your white hat?
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about the speed. I think it was, Zach Street, one of our skaters, that was out there. And, of course, we were kind of following along with the messages that his parents were posting on Facebook. And, like, right away, this maybe was, like, right after the first practice day. Mm-hmm. First thing his parents are saying is, like, yeah, we just talked to Zach, and they're saying the track is fast. Watch a lot of these records get busted and broken.
And that's exactly what happened. It was amazing how fast they started coming down. First of all, breaking records right now is no surprise, because truthfully, we have probably the best upturn of quality in our athletes that we've had in many, many years. We've got some juniors coming out of the gates that are just showing us that the United States can still produce these speed skaters and compete on an international basis. The junior guys, the junior girls, really have all of us looking positive for the near future. In addition to that, I also want to point out that this year was the largest showing of quality, sheer quality, freshman divisions, juvenile divisions, and even those primaries. We got the primaries introduced last year, and we only had a couple of them. But this year, we had gold, silver, and bronze in both divisions, and they actually had to earn their spots. They raced for those spots. No gimmies on the little kids' awards this year. Going back to the freshmen, I just want to give a big shout-out and a thanks, Julio, for bringing that group down from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, all the way in from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Wow.
And they came down and showed that they've got a fantastic program going out there, and really showed us that the freshmen in the United States are looking strong.
Totally awesome. You know, I've been saying this over the last few years, that the junior world-class skaters from, say, 4 or 5 years ago, those boys, and I mean, of course my son was there, so I'm following that more than I am everything else, although I'm watching it all, I'm really following that. So what ends up happening is I'm watching all of the junior men, and I kept saying, wait till these 6 junior men all become senior men. Because the senior men are now going to be taken to another heightened level, because these junior boys, they battle like crazy. And now this new class of junior men, and you can probably answer this a lot better than I can, because I'm looking from the outside. I'm not there actually seeing it live like you have been. But I feel like this new junior class of guys and girls are just like 10 times stronger than 6 years ago junior guys, because they've had these junior guys to battle with for the last 4 years. So they've made them, you know, our new senior guys have made the old junior guy or the new junior guys that much stronger. And I'm just wondering, are we going to start seeing this now? I mean, when these juniors become seniors, is that next junior class just going to be an even stronger field because of, you know, this constant build?
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. These skaters are a product of their environment. And when they're coming out of an environment where every time they step on the track, they've got, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 fantastic athletes that they've got to race against. We know that they're going to go home, do their homework, and they're going to come back next year a better athlete so that they can accomplish what they want to accomplish. We've talked for years about, hey, back in the day this happened, back in the day that happened. Well, you know, not to live in the past, but back in the day, last time I skated a outdoor national championship, we had 98 world-class men, and there was 20 guys that could win any race.
Yeah.
And we're getting back to that again, going back to the freshmen. I watched a freshman division that every single race, they had eight, nine girls that were in the mix on every single race. That's what made us strong back in the day, and that's what's going to put us back on top now. These freshmen are putting the pressure on each other like we used to do with the world class later. They're going to get older. The sport's growing. We're getting more numbers down in that area, and that's what's going to be the future of the sport. And to address what you're talking about, our juniors, that's exactly what's happening. These guys are making each other fast. They're getting experience outside the country. They're traveling together. They're racing together overseas. And that's what's going to make this country great on wheels again.
Now, you had a chance, obviously, to talk with the athletes as things finished up. What was the overall feedback with all of the changes, with the dome, with some adjustments to where the start and finish lines were? What did the athletes say to you when it was all done?
Well, the athletes, I think, are getting to the point where they understand that they've got to be adaptive. You know, our track isn't textbook CIC. We're still running parabolic, which in my mind is not a bad thing. I love the strategy of parabolic. But these other races we go to, the athletes need to understand every time they go to a new track, that new track is going to feel different. The lines are going to feel like they're in a different place. And I got to say, they showed up and skated here like pros. Whatever happened, whatever the changes were, they duck and weaved and rolled with it and made whatever adjustments they had to make to be fast on what they were dealt. So definitely hats off to the athletes for preparing, the coaches for teaching the athletes that they've got to be ready for anything now. Attitudes were great. The racing was great. Just a very positive experience around the board. We had other challenges, too, which not many people knew about till the last minute. The high school that we used to do our road championships at caught fire, and we had less than 10 days notice to replace our road championship. And I went out looking for a place. My only goal was to find the absolute best location for these athletes to race. I wanted them to have the best facility they've ever had for road, and we accomplished it. The records were going down on road just like they were going down on track.
Nice.
And it was an overall impression that everybody was very happy with that facility.
What was the facility? Where did you move to?
We ended up using one of the parking lots for the UCCS college campus. We got it lined up at the last minute. A lot of came together to make sure we found the right parking lot, the right facilities. It's a challenge out here. We've got bad weather just like you guys have up in your area, and as you know, that makes for some very rough road conditions. So every time we found a nice big parking lot, the pavement was so horrible you couldn't skate on it. And every time we found beautiful pavement, we didn't have a chance of getting a 400-meter course on it. So we ended up having all the stars come together, and we ended up with one of the best 400-meter courses we've ever seen out here in Colorado Springs, and the racer sure took advantage of it.
Okay. So, hey, real quick, Kelly, I put a Facebook post out right at the start of this interview, something new I'd like to try to start incorporating in the interviews. And I ask everybody, is there any questions that they may have? And we can ask that question for them. So Jay Whitehouse says to ask you about your skating career and basically kind of where you got started. And if you can kind of breeze through, I know we're talking about ODN, but we have a new coach in Indiana who is coaching out of the Anderson area. So he just says, ask about his skating career, his start, et cetera. So if you can touch base a little bit on your start in coaching and skating and go through that real fast.
Sure, you bet. Without taking a whole bunch of time, I skated my whole career out here in Colorado. I grew up in the rinks out here, just a rink rat like the rest of everybody. I left after Nationals in, I think it was 87. I stopped skating for a while, came back in 92, and I was ready to race by 93. I had a fantastic outdoor Nationals in 94. 1995, I was in a horrible car accident. Most people anymore don't even remember it, but I was told I'd never walk correctly and I would never skate again. Put all that back together. I did X Games twice after that, and I did a downhill world championships in Italy. And very, very happy to have come out of that way ahead of what the doctors expected. One thing that I did do, though, is it changed my focus a little bit, because when I was in a wheelchair, I was still going to all the practices. And what I found out when I was in the wheelchair that I actually had the ability to teach. And I started running some practices, and next thing I knew, I realized that the best way for me to teach these kids was for me not to compete anymore. So I stopped training and stopped skating myself, started focusing on all the teaching. Mm-hmm. I had some fantastic mentors out here. I ran a club with Rick and Jan Porter for years, and they were fantastic mentors. And I came out of a fantastic program as an athlete when I was young with Bill and Arlene Lehman. And I've got nothing but high regards for every single one of these people that made me who I am. I'm not a coach from being taught one thing. I'm a coach from everything that I've learned from all of these different coaches I've worked with over the years. So many, I could never possibly name them all. But that's what tossed me into coaching and just trying to make the best of it for the kids.
Okay, so how crazy were the downhill championships? Because I've seen some pictures, seen a little bit of video. How nuts was that? How fast were you going?
It was probably somewhere around 80% skin grafting, I'm guessing.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure, yes.
Well, yeah, you know, you see a lot of those crazy accidents. I can tell you that I absolutely love downhill. We only have a little bit of downhill stuff going on here in the U.S. If we had as much downhill stuff going on in the United States that they have in Europe, I probably wouldn't have coached, and I probably would have just kept doing downhill because I had so much fun at it. We've had hills out here in Colorado. We had one really fast straight hill that we've been over 80 miles per hour on skates, and we've got other hills out here that have just been incredible switchbacks. Maybe you only get up to 45 or 50, but you got to slow back down to 15 for the next corner. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed downhill, and I think it's something that our sport could really make a lot more out of if it was getting more popular, because it's some of the most exciting skating you've ever seen.
You know what? There's some videos that we you know, this is of course back when you guys were going down and doing racing down in Florida at the Disney, and you guys also did a downhill thing, and I remember seeing some videos. BJ Steckety, of course, did it, and Chad Hetrick and all those guys were doing it as well. And there's a scene, there's a part in there where what's her name? Something, is it F? Is it Teresa F something or?
Oh, were you talking about the huge flip where she went just barreling into the hay bales and flipped through it?
Yeah, is it something Afgard or something like that?
Actually, that was Michelle Bazot. Her dad was a coach out in Sacramento, California.
Okay.
And she was only 14 when we did X Games that year. And I'll tell you, we were all sitting at the bottom of the hill, and when she hit those hay bales, we were waiting for the helicopters to go pick her up. And just a few minutes later, she comes rolling down like nothing happened. And it was one of the most incredible inline crashes I've ever seen.
Well, the commentators misquoted the athlete that hit the bales of hay, but Christian, of course, you got to remember now, Christian's a 13-year-old little boy, and we're watching all these videos. Of course, we're watching, you know, the Duluth video with Hedrick and Downing and Turner on the when they broke the hour barrier and out in Duluth, and then of course, then there's the downhill stuff. And he would rewind and rewind that lady hitting those bales of hay and flipping over them. So here's a funny. So did you ever wear one of those streamline aero helmets or whatever?
No, I usually wore my regular helmet. I usually also had a camera on it. Most of the video of the races that I'm in, they used a lot of my helmet cam in that one.
Oh, wow.
But no, I never did the whole aero thing. One of my athletes, Pat Naylor, he won the event, and he was all arrowed out, and he worked with one of my other athletes, Bob Berkeley. They were all here in Colorado and skated with me here in Colorado, and Pat Naylor and Bob Berkeley and some other friends of theirs, they put this arrow outfit together, and he ended up winning that year. It was pretty awesome.
All right, Kelly, another quick question. Harry Stewart ask him how many drinks he's buying me at IDN.
Oh, man, I want to spend some good time with Harry Stewart. He's been a good friend for a lot of years. And those of you who don't know him, you know, my first meeting of him, I was still skating. I wasn't coaching yet. And I used to go down to the Treasure Coast Challenge down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And that was one of the most fun races we did all year long. And he put that together and ran a fantastic event out there. And he's trying to figure out if he's going to continue in this sport, trying to deal with, you know, keeping a rink or moving on and retiring. And just the danger of not seeing him as much as we used to. I really want to spend some time with him and visit with him this year at Indoor Nationals. So to Harry, my friend, go ahead and take care of the drinks this time. It's just going to be good to spend the time with you.
Right.
I think Harry's going to get a lot of these drinks when Indoor Nationals rolls around.
Yeah, and everybody out there, you know, if you guys can say some prayers and hopefully something comes together. I do know that tentatively July 10th is the last day for his skating rink if something doesn't come up and happen. So we wish him all the best. Hopefully things will turn around and he doesn't have to sell the rink and he can maintain, because we need our rinks. I mean, we need our rinks and our rink owners. So, cool. So, I want to get a little controversial, and I figure who better than Kelly Springer to get controversial with?
Oh, ouch! I hate conflict.
I know. So here we go.
All right, let's hear it.
The rule when an athlete commits a foul, I get into the corner and I push you out. So I'm disqualified and now I'm taken out of the next event. And that's an international, that's a CIC rule. I know that they do that at Worlds. And I know that we were doing that at ODN. We started it, I think, a year ago or 2 years ago. And as I'm sitting here thinking about that, to me, it seems like I understand the rule very well. However, when you only have one qualifying event and these athletes are expected to be in each event to qualify, I just don't understand why we're not declassifying and why we would be removing somebody from a possible qualifying event because they had a penalty in an event earlier. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I know that there was some controversy at Outdoor Nationals this year with those rules in effect. So what's the outcome, yep, and what's your thoughts on all that?
I'm very glad that you brought that up. And truthfully, it's not even a controversy because all of us coaches look at things the same way. We all want to put out the best possible team that we can possibly put out. Now, years ago, when the CIC introduced that into the rule books, I agree with that on an international situation because it was getting to the point where you'd have one country would have two really strong athletes, and it'd be like, okay, hey, I'm going to take them out on this one, and you go get gold, and next time you take them out, and then I'll go get gold. And that's just not fair. So I understand why they set that out on the international basis for the World Championships. When the first year that it happened, I believe Janine was the head official, and when she brought it up at the coaches meeting, most of us coaches were like, no, that's not something that we want to apply to our national championships. And there was a handful of coaches that said, yeah, if it's in the book, we got to follow it. If it's in the book, we got to follow it. Well, we that didn't want it were overruled, and they initiated it and put it in there. Well, what that did was it made us just coach a little bit differently, a little bit more conservatively. But I've never agreed with it. So this year it came up again, and we had a little mini sports committee meeting, and the other members that were there from the speed committee, including myself and Renee and Jay and Aaron, was there. And we bounced it off some of the other speed committee members. And I just don't see that rule continuing anymore, because even though a few coaches were for it, I've seen nothing but trouble. The first year we used it, it ended up, resulting in protests. And this year I was very unhappy with what it did to affect, some great athletes that really should have had a better chance at the team.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's nothing that you can change on the spot, because any sports changes like that have to go through the committee and they have to be ratified by the board. The board is going to have absolutely no problem ratifying us changing that, because it's best for our country to not be removing people from races that could actually weaken our team. We need to take the strongest team possible.
I agree 100%.
And I think that's, unfortunately, the side effect of that is, it doesn't allow you to bring the strongest team. And great, yeah, we know how it's going to be when we get to Worlds, but maybe it's not the best way for us to sort things out at the national level to put the best team out there. I know, Kelly, we've taken up so much of your time, and we got sidetracked because you were talking about the downhill, which I have about five more questions on that, so we have to have you back. But I would just ask you this, like, as we're sitting here, we're a week out of Outdoor Nationals, if you had to put maybe a letter grade on how you felt Outdoor Nationals went, what grade would you assign it? Because to me, it seemed like it'd be like an A.
Well, you know, I'm one of those coaches that understands that perfection is never going to be there, but I also, the way I look at things is every time that we're happy with what we've got, then that's when progress stops. So in a lot of ways, I would agree with you and say that we did deserve an A, and I think a lot of the people that walked away from this championship probably gave it an A rating. But, you know, I'm one of those coaches that's going to say, hey, I'm going to give it a B, and the reason I'm going to have it give it a B is because I want better. I always want better for the athletes. I always want better for the future of this sport. And if we give things an A now, it's just going to make us sit back a little bit and just not try as hard as we can. So that's my opinion.
I like that logic. Yeah. I will say this, for a lot of my skater friends that were out there, and Coach, I'm sure, can back me up on this, as you were watching their reaction to certain things on Facebook and watching what they were commenting on and what their statuses were after they got done racing, every skater that I know that went out there had a tremendous time. Mm-hmm. They felt fantastic. They loved the experience. Yeah. They really enjoyed that. And I'm hoping some of the skaters who were thinking about going and actually had friends that were out there, talk to those friends of yours that were there and make that trip and make those plans right now to get out there. Because, man, I tell you what, we got some good things that are cooking out there right now.
Yeah, well, and for these athletes that didn't make it, they have an opportunity where they can just go to A to A, and they can watch Jimmy Blair skate to A to A this year.
That is true.
Because that's coming up.
Yes. We're like 3 months away from that, Jimmy.
Yeah. So I think we can – everybody that didn't make it to ODN, you know, make it your responsibility to, one, get to IDN, and then after that we can get to A to A and watch Jimmy Blair skate the A to A marathon.
So when Jimmy is casting you for your new pinnacles at IDN, just bring that up casually in conversation.
Yeah, he's waiting for it.
Kelly, man, thank you so much for joining us again. It's great to kind of come on the other side of Outdoor Nationals and see how some of the skaters reacted to the dome and to a few of the other changes out there. And nice job on those quick adjustments for the outdoor, the track, the road competition as well. So very well done on all of that.
Big round of applause for Kelly. Thank you so much for all the work you did out there.
Always good to visit with you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right, we're talking downhill stuff next. I got a bazillion questions. The downhill racing, we're talking that next.
And we are still going to hold Kelly responsible because he said that he's going to do what he can do to get us out there.
I know.
So we either got to hit the lottery
September.
Or we got to make something happen.
So cool, Kelly.
September it is.
Thank you so much. Remember, check out our website, which is boomerandthecoach.com. Download the podcast, subscribe. Thank you so much, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing, for all the support there at pinnacleracing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.